Supreme Court State, the Supreme Court of the State of Colorado is now in session. Chief Justice Michael Bender presiding.
Good morning. Please be seated. Our first case is City of Brighton versus Helen Rodriguez, case number 2012-SC-77. Are both parties ready? Let me take care of a couple of housekeeping matters. Justice Coates will be participating. I could not be here this morning for the argument. Argument set for an hour, and the petitioner will have to keep track of your time. And when you start your argument, please tell us who you are and who you represent. And some of us have iPads, so just to let everybody know that we're not surfing, reading emails. We're looking at briefs and our notes, and sometimes we're looking at the West. So with that,
Chief, we did. Chief, yes. I'm not going to interrupt. I think the argument's actually set for half an hour, for 15
it
minutes.
It is half an hour, thank you.
The bailiff's looking confused in the back, so I just wanted to clarify.
Well, I appreciate that.
No, so much extra time as the clerk yesterday, I guess.
I'm really sorry. I assume it was an hour. That's what happens when you get old. Let's go. So it's 15 minutes aside.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Kelly Krugel. I am here representing the petitioner in this matter, the City of Brighton and CERSA. We come on appeal of the order of the Court of Appeals, which found that respondents in the underlying workers' compensation case failed to sustain their burden of proof when it was established to the administrative law judge and through the Industrial Claim Appeals Office panel that a claimant had sustained an unexplained fall. The Court of Appeals held that under the statutory changes of 843.201 subsection 1, that finding did not constitute satisfaction of the burden of proof on the part of the respondent. We would disagree with that interpretation of the burden of proof statute as it applies to this case, specifically with regard to unexplained falls. And on the two issues which certiorari was granted, we feel these tie together. We do believe that the court erred in finding that where there was no explanation for a fall that satisfied the test of arising out of employment within the Workers' Compensation Act. It has been well settled in Colorado that falls which are unexplained are, as a matter of law, not compensable in the Colorado Workers' Compensation system.
I actually would like you to expand on that a little bit. Have we actually addressed this point before? You said well settled.
It has not been addressed by the Supreme Court, Your Honor. It has been addressed by the cases of Finn and subsequent case law. Finn is a Court of Appeals case. Since that time, no decision that I'm aware of has specifically overturned the position taken in Finn and upheld by subsequent case law that where a fall is unexplained, it does not meet the arising out of test of employment. As recognized by Larson, Colorado follows the minority jurisdiction in this regard. Many other states follow a practice that merely because a fall occurs at work, therefore that fall is de facto compensable.
Counsel, can I just stop? There's no dispute here that this fall did occur at work, correct?
There is no dispute that this fall occurred during a point in time where Ms. Rodriguez was entering her employment. No.
Is there any dispute that the fall itself, the tumble down the stairs, caused her injuries?
The nature and extent of what injuries arose out of that fall has continued to be a disputed point in this case, but no, to the extent that a fall occurred and there was some injury requiring medical treatment which arose out of that fall, respondents do not dispute that. We do not dispute that.
So the only thing that's unexplained is the why she fell.
Correct.
Okay. So given that, and thinking about the facts in Finn, I'm trying to align the two, because in Finn, as I understood it, we're not sure what happened to this fellow. He just woke up and had all kinds of unexplained injuries. But well, here we know what caused the injuries. The fall caused the injuries. The only question here is what caused the fall.
And that is exactly what Finn and the subsequent cases, Rice being another prime example of that, have held, that there has to be some explanation accepted by the underlying administrative law judge for what caused the fall. Now, there is a requirement that the exact cause of the fall be proven, but the administrative law judge, in order for it to meet the arising out of requirement within the Workers' Compensation Act, has to accept some explanation therefore. And in this particular case, Ms. Rodriguez testified that she didn't remember what happened. Her co-workers who were there testified that one minute she was standing up and the next minute she was in a heap at the bottom of the stairs. So under the rationale as applied by the underlying administrative law judge, he found that the facts of this particular case satisfied the unexplained element established by him.
And I guess I'm still a little bit troubled by that, because I'm just trying to understand the rationale and the principle behind why should it really matter if we know that the fall caused the injury? Why should it matter what caused the fall? Whether she tripped, whether she lost her balance, whether she remembers what happened, whether she was pushed. We know that the fall caused the injury, and that to me seems to be a very different situation where someone wakes up on the floor in a pool of blood and we don't know what happened to that particular person. So the injury there is unexplained.
Certainly, and they're all veins of the same issue. Here, had we simply found the claimant at the bottom of the stairs, one could have presumed, much like the arguments have maybe been, that a presumption that something happened at work. He didn't arrive at work with a skull fracture, therefore something at work must have happened. A similar analogy can take place here, where something must have happened in order to cause her to fall on the stairs.
But in this case, we know what happened. We know we have two witnesses that saw her falling on the stairs.
But we only know that she fell. We don't have an explanation why. And that is what's keyed on the decisions subsequent to Finn and Rice, that there has to be, in order to satisfy the arising out of nexus, so a threshold requirement for proof of compensability, a base standard of recovery under the statute of 841.3011, requires that there be some nexus to the work that connects the occurrence. Simply being at work and suffering an unexplained fall, or moving it outside of the fall context, suffering an unexplained incident at work, has been held by the courts in previous decisions to not sufficiently satisfy that arising out of test. And what is disjointing in this particular case is, because of the application of the burden of proof changes, under the existing case law, had respondents initially filed a notice of contest in this matter, the unexplained fall defense was still a viable defense in this matter. We could establish that the fall was unexplained. That was the existing state of Colorado law going into this hearing, going into the underlying hearing.
There are two problems with that, however. We're dealing with the Court of Appeals opinion that because of the admission of liability, or confession of liability, whatever you call it, Morton's time, that the legislature certainly seems to have favored the worker, and the Court of Appeals simply held that the burden wasn't carried in this case. And the remedial nature of the workman's comp and the preclusion by the legislature of a common law remedy and negligence all seems to point towards the fact that the Court of Appeals opinion may be entirely correct in considering the statute. So, you know, you don't have much time. So tell us why this isn't an appropriate case to uphold the Court of Appeals.
The reason that it's not an appropriate case to uphold the Court of Appeals opinion is because in finding that in order to sustain the burden of proof, respondents had to prove a non-work-related cause, that misinterpreted the burden of proof under the statute. What the statute says is that the party seeking to change or withdraw an admission bears the burden of proof on that issue. We never disagree with that point. The point that we disagree with the Court of Appeals analysis is that proving a fall was unexplained. So proving that the fall itself did not satisfy the threshold requirement for arising out of and in the course of employment under the existing state of the case law is insufficient to carry that burden. What the Court of Appeals has done in this particular case...
Could you say that again? Because I'm sorry, I just don't quite understand that. The burden of proof... If the burden, you're accepting the burden of proof?
We accept that the burden of proof.
So wouldn't that mean that you have to prove that it did not arise out of employment?
We believe that
why not? If not, why not? I don't get that.
We believe that we did that, Your Honor, in showing that the fall was unexplained. Unexplained falls, by their very definition, do not arise out of employment. Therefore, when a fall is unexplained, it cannot meet the threshold requirement for a compensable injury. Because that threshold requirement was never met in this case, respondents showed that to the judge during the initial hearing. And by using the burden of proof as applied by the Court of Appeals, what essentially will occur is that the minute a general admission of liability is filed, the entire unexplained fall on their defenses is extinguished. Respondents can no longer state that there was no explanation for
why. Why would you file an admission of liability then? I mean, that's what seems to be the hookup in this case.
And that's a very good question, Your Honor. The admission of liability in this case was filed very shortly after the injury. And the information which indicated that there was, in fact, no explanation for the fall was not discovered until additional investigation occurred. And as discussed in petitioner's brief, what the Court of Appeals ruling will encourage is carriers to be more liberal in their filing of notices of contest to buy the additional time for investigation, as opposed to initially admitting liability for an injury and paying benefits. Going back to the case of HLJ Management, which was discussed at length in our brief, it has long been stated that an employer should have the right and the ability to seek relief from an improvidently filed admission, meaning that if you find out at some course in time that the admission you filed, the facts don't actually merit that out. That's fine. You were paying benefits to the injured worker. You were doing exactly what the Colorado Act is designed to do, the prompt, efficient payment of benefits to the injured worker. But that shouldn't leave the employer and carrier high and dry when information is found that would suggest that there are other viable defenses to the compensability of that incident. In this case, we sought to withdraw the admission of liability on the basis that the fall itself was unexplained by virtue of additional information that was discovered. The judge found, as a matter of fact, that the fall in this case was unexplained. So the only distinctions that you're having is, under a notice of contest, this case would clearly be not compensable under existing Colorado law, and we likely wouldn't be here today. However, because a general admission of liability was filed, the exact same factual findings don't satisfy respondents' burden of proof. And we would argue that that is an inequitable result and is going to incur additional litigation, additional notices of contest. Defenses should not be extinguished merely because the carrier files an additional admission of liability.
Would you agree that your position with respect to the burden of proof hinges on us agreeing with your view of the first issue?
Absolutely, Your
Okay,
Honor.
So if we disagree with you on the first issue, in other words, if we say, look, it's really about an unexplained injury as opposed to what caused the fall, so long as we know that the fall caused the injury and the fall occurred at work, if we disagree and kind of come off that direction on the first issue, how does that impact the burden of proof piece?
I would agree, Your Honor, that our entire argument hinges upon this court upholding that unexplained falls and affirming the law that it exists under Finn and under Rice. If this court finds that under Colorado workers' compensation law, it is now sufficient for an injury to be compensable merely because an accident occurs at the place of employment, then the burden of proof in this case, it becomes irrelevant. Respondents' concern and contention in this case is that under the same factual interpretation on a notice of contest in this case would not be compensable, but because a general admission of liability was filed, the unexplained fall defense was virtually wiped out by imposing a different burden of proof that is not enumerated in the statute of requiring the respondent to prove a non-work-related cause. And that is where we take distinction with the Court of Appeals argument, Your Honor.
Thank you.
And I'd like to reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
You may.
Thank you.
morning, and please the court. I'm Dean North, I'm Jenna Fricke, we represent the work of Helen Rodriguez. Two quick corrections. FEMA is a decision by this court on the Court of Appeals. It's a 1968 decision. And the Rice case that counsel was talking about is a decision by the ICAO, the Industrial Criminal Appeals Office. Our argument is that FIN does not bar the recovery of benefits here, and that FIN has been misread by Rice and the ICAO. And what we want this court to do is overrule Rice and restore FIN to what was intended. If I can kind of go back to ground one, both of these sort of questions raise issues of statutory interpretation. The first question seeks interpretation of the phrase arising out of employment in 841.301(c). The issue is not whether the injury arose out of work. The issue is whether the injury arose out of the issue is not whether the injury arose out of the work site. The question is whether the injury arose out of the employment. This court has defined that phrase multiple times over the years. Consistent with the beneficent purpose of the Workers' Compensation Act, the phrase is very broadly defined. There is not a strict causal definition. All that's required for an injury to arise out of employment is that the injury happened while the employer is doing an act that is incidental to his or her job. That's all it takes. Just enough of a connection between the job, circumstances, and conditions of the job and the injury that we can say the injury grows out of the job. So what we're really trying to figure out here is when you have that broad task of arising out of employment, what does it mean to say that an injury is unexplained? Well, what the Finn case said was that we don't have enough information to know what the employee was doing at the time of the injury. We don't know if the employee was doing something incidental to the job. Accordingly, we cannot say that the injury arose out of the employment. That holding, or the fact that my description of that holding is appropriately described, can be corroborated by looking at the London case, which is a 1957 case by this court, which is discussed in Finn, discussed in both parties' briefs here, and basically says the same thing. Now, what happens in London is that the worker is killed by a fall out of a high window. It's unwitnessed. Nobody knows if he fell by accident or if he committed suicide. And in Finn, as has already been discussed, we hear that the worker suffered a skull fracture, but there was absolutely no idea how it happened. Compare this case, Justice Marquez, as you indicated. We have a fall that was witnessed. No witnesses in Finn alone. We have a fall here that was indisputably accidental. We have a fall here that occurred on the stairs that Ms. Rodriguez used to reach her office. There's a finding of fact by the administrative law judge that she was required to use those stairs in order to reach her office. Therefore, our position is that the fall occurred while Ms. Rodriguez was doing an act incidental to her job. Under this court's prior precedence, that means that the injury arose out of her employment. So we should be done. She should be covered by the workers' compensation.
Mr. North, what do we do with the ALJ's finding that by a preponderance he found that the injury was not compensable because it was unexplained? That's almost a verbatim of his findings.
So
as a matter of law, he's wrong. Certainly we have to defer to his findings of fact, right?
Yes, Your Honor, normally you defer to findings of fact, but there's an exception where findings of fact that are relevant are undisputed. And that point is discussed in our briefs, and that point applies in workers' compensation cases. That's number one. Number two, what we're doing here is we're engaged in a question of statutory interpretation. What does the phrase arising out of mean when you're talking about something that's unexplained? And number three, the issue of what is unexplained here is a question of law, not a question of fact. Because as I'm trying to get through, the issue of unexplained is simply whether we have enough information to know that the employee fell while engaged in an act.
Mr. Norton, your argument that it's just because it's accidental as a matter of law, is that your position? What happened to her was accidental?
Well,
therefore, explain.
I'm sorry. Sorry.
As a matter of law, that's accidental.
It was two things, that it was accidental, and that it occurred while she was engaged in an activity incidental to her job, which here was negotiating the stairs to get to her office. Those facts are undisputed. They're known. So then the question is, what is the legal impact of those facts? What is the legal consequence of those undisputed facts? That's a question of law. What the Rice case says, Rice is this 1999 ICAO panel decision that purports to interpret FIN. It does so inappropriately in our view. What it says is that we don't know whether the fall was incidental to the job unless we know the exact precise physical mechanism of the fall. Well, our position is that that's irrelevant. If you know that the fall was accidental, if you know that the fall occurred while the employee was engaged in an act incidental to the job, you don't need to know the exact physical mechanism for the fall. It's simply irrelevant to the test that this court has previously crafted for arising out of employment, whether Ms. Rodriguez tripped over her foot, whether she missed a step on her way down, or whether she lost her balance. It just doesn't matter for determining her eligibility for benefits under 841-301-1C.
Counsel, can I just follow up with that? What do you do with, she's on the top of the stairs and she has an asthma attack and then that causes the fall. How does that work in your scenario?
So, if I can take that analogy, Justice Eisen, and work it into the facts of this case, there was an allegation, well, it was after she fell, she's taken to the hospital and a brain scan, she fell on her head. So they took some kind of test on her head and they discovered these unruptured aneurysms. So the precipitating factor to this case is that the employer came back in and it wanted to say she didn't fall because of something on the stairs. She didn't fall because of something incidental to her job. She fell because she blacked out while going down the stairs because of these pre-existing aneurysms, which I think is similar to the hypothetical that you're presenting. And in that situation, the workers' comp law has what's called a special hazard doctrine, which says that if you fall through an idiopathic condition, which is a condition personal to you as a worker, you can recover benefits only if there was a special hazard at work that somehow contributed to the injury. And a good example is the Ramsdale case, which one of the parties I think has cited in the brief, where the worker's up on a scaffold and he's an epileptic, he has a history of epilepsy, he's on anti-seizure medication, but for some reason he sustains a seizure and he falls 25 feet and he's severely injured. So there you have a combination of the idiopathic condition and the special hazard. If he had just been standing on the floor when he had a seizure, then that would not have been compensable. Here what happened was the employer came in later and tried to say that because Ms. Rodriguez had these pre-existing aneurysms, those must have been what precipitated the fall. Stairs are not a special hazard, therefore she's not entitled to benefits. They lost on that issue. That is an issue that they did properly present through their burden of proof to the administrative law judge. He said, you didn't satisfy your burden of proof on that. They tried to show that the injury did not arise out of employment by showing that it was caused by the aneurysms, and they then failed. What they can't then do is go back and violate the 2009 amendment to the statute and shift the burden of proof back to Ms. Rodriguez by saying that she didn't prove that the fall did arise out of the employment.
Well, and that gets to semantics. I mean, there's, how do you describe what you have to prove? Right, I mean, I hear your opposing counsel say that it's the burden to show an unexplained fall, and they say they showed that. I guess that maybe the burden doesn't matter, it's really to the first question whether this is an unexplained fall.
Well, I agree with Justice Marquez and my opponent that if you decide the unexplained fall issue the way that Ms. Fricke and I are asking you to decide it, you don't need to reach the burden of right. proof issue. If you say that Rice has misconstrued Finn and London, and you limit, you bring us back to where I think we ought to be, which is that Finn and London are limited to the very rare situations where we just have no idea how this injury occurred. We don't need to know the exact physical mechanism. We just need to know enough to know whether the injury occurred while the employee is doing something incidental to her job. And if that's the way we go, we don't reach burden of proof. But if you reach burden of proof, then there's a couple of things going on. One is, if the unexplained fall doctrine exists to the extent that the employer says it exists, I don't think you can craft a judicially created exception to that doctrine for a particular defense, or a judicially created exception to the statute, pardon me, 843-201 for that defense. I think you go back to the plain language of the statute, because we're engaged in statutory interpretation, and they're just a blanket statement by the legislature which embodies the legislature's policy choice that once a general admission has been made, the burden shifts And what that means under the law of evidence is you've got to come forward with affirmative evidence. Prove something, okay? So if the nature of the particular issue is such that you can't come forward with affirmative evidence because you're proving a negative, I think the solution is you go back to the legislature and you say, you need to create an exception for this particular doctrine. I don't think it's for this court to judicially craft an exception in that regard.
Thank you.
Okay. I think, unless the court has any other questions, that I waive the rest of my time.
Let me follow up on that. Good morning.
Good morning.
So are you basically saying that the unexplained accident finding is a mixed question of fact and law, that the mechanism is unexplained, but the error is that as a matter of law, it still arose out of work?
Kind of, Justice Fulbright. I guess I'm saying the exact mechanism by which the fall occurred. What caused? We know she didn't fall because of the aneurysm, so why did she fall? Well, that's a question of fact. Nobody knows the answer to it. But then I'm saying that as a question of law, we don't need to know the answer to that question in order to determine whether the fall arises out of employment within the meaning of 841.301. Because we do know, as a matter of undisputed fact, that the fall was accidental and that it occurred while Ms. Rodriguez was doing something incidental to her job, which was going down the stairs to her office. Those are under the Finn and London cases. Those are all the facts that we need to know in order to determine whether she falls under the Workers' Compensation Act. And since we, in Finn and London, those facts weren't known, and so the workers in those cases weren't eligible. But in our situation, they are known, they're undisputed, and therefore, she is eligible for compensation, and the fact that we don't know the precise physical mechanism of the fall becomes an irrelevant fact.
So if they had just found her in a heap at the bottom of the stairs and nobody had seen her fall, how would that change the scenario?
It would be a lot more like Finn in London than it's like the current situation where we've got two co-workers who saw the fall and could describe what happened. The only thing they couldn't is, I mean, if you go back and you read their testimony in the transcript, which is on the record, there's a lot of factual information there. And they said, you know, we were talking, she seemed normal, she turned to go, all of a sudden she just pitched forward, one of them said it looked like a rug had pulled out from under her, she fell head first and tumbled down, she hit her head, she ended up at the bottom of the stairs, so she fell down 10 or 12 stairs, and she was unconscious. So all of that is out. The only fact that wasn't known was, well, did you see her feet at the moment she fell? No. So you don't know exactly what caused her to fall. No, I don't. I don't know if she tripped over her own foot or Mr. Stepped or lost her balance or what happened.
Well, the ALJ found it wasn't due to these pre-existing aneurysms. I mean,
correct.
So he definitely found that.
Yes.
Correct.
There was, as part of the hearing in this case, there was medical testimony, and if I could correct one other matter, possible misimpression that the aneurysms were discovered the same day she fell because she was taken to the emergency room and tests were conducted and they discovered the aneurysm. So I believe that the employer knew right from the get-go that she had these unruptured aneurysms and yet they still filed the general admission of liability. It was just that a year later when she still continued to show symptoms, it seems that the employer changed its mind and decided we do want to contest this. And so at the hearing there was a lot of medical evidence. There were competing medical witnesses. There were two neurologists for Ms. Rodriguez. There was, I don't know if he was a neurologist or a physician for the city, and there was a disputed issue of fact in that case as to whether the aneurysms caused her fall. And there, the ALJ did make a finding of fact on the disputed issue and held that the unruptured aneurysms did not cause her fall. But nevertheless, the ALJ allowed the employer to withdraw its admission on the basis, well, the fall is unexplained solely because we don't know the exact physical mechanism. You know, our position is that's just set, that violates the purposes of the Workers' Compensation Act. You know, for her not to even be able to be eligible for benefits at this point creates a hardship that is the opposite of the purpose of the Act. And all she's asking for is the opportunity to go in and prove that the medical conditions for which she's currently seeking treatment were caused by the fall down the stairs.
Counsel, I know you just have a minute or a few seconds, but help me understand how your theory, though, applies to Finn. I mean, do you think that Finn is wrongly decided? And I ask you that because in Finn, there was no explanation for the fall, but also, exactly as in this case, other causes had been ruled out. It didn't have epilepsy, you know, seizure, da da da. And he was at work, so something must have happened to him at work. I mean, how do you distinguish that from this situation? I mean, just because people saw the kind of fall here, the same probably happened to the claimant in Finn. Can you help me understand that? Or is Finn just wrong?
Is Finn just what?
Wrong.
I don't necessarily think Finn is right or wrong. I think it's a very rare case where we just don't know what happened to the worker to cause the injury. And the same thing in Levin.
But we know disease didn't happen, right? The court rules out disease in Finn. I mean, the only thing left is work, I guess, but we didn't accept that. And I'm wondering, how do you distinguish that?
You know, we're not asking this court to go so far as to overrule Finn. To me, Finn and London are cases that are going to arise only very rarely. I'd be more than content to have the court find that based on the undisputed facts, this isn't Finn, because we know exactly what happened to Ms. Rodriguez. I've read and reread Finn many times over the last few months, and I honestly don't know what to make of it, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Norworth. We'll give you an extra 1 minute and 40 seconds. It's approved.
Thank you, Your Honors. Going back to the point that was just raised concerning Finn, I really think that is the distinguishing criteria here. And I apologize for misspeaking on Court of Appeals versus Supreme Court, and Finn, thank you, counsel, for correcting me on that. What's been held in Finn and London and continuously upheld by the Industrial Claim Appeals panels and other instances where this has been looked at is that in Colorado, there is no presumption that an injury which occurs in the course of a worker's employment arises out of that employment, and the mere fact that an employee is injured on the employer's premises does not establish a compensable injury. I believe that in what the respondent is asking this court to do effectively would overturn Finn. It would create a construction wherein if something occurs at work and there isn't a non-work-related explanation proven, therefore that injury becomes a compensable incident. And that would be overturning the precedent of that is established. That there has to be a nexus, there has to be a connection between the employment and the injury.
Well, why isn't the difference between this case and Finn as simple as the fact that in this case we know that she fell down on the steps, and therefore we have a mechanism, and in Finn all we did is find a person slumped, essentially, at his workplace.
And
we didn't know what happened here.
I think that goes back to the factual findings of the administrative law judge and those factual findings that deserve deference. The judge, hearing all of the evidence that was presented...
But may I just interrupt, because I think I know where you're going, and I'd like to get to my question, which is, we don't know why she fell down the steps. And that's, and I agree, we never will. And we don't know what happened to Mr. Finn, that he was slumped over at his workstation. But why is that the question? That why? Don't we have to go back earlier and ask the question, did this happen as a result of something that was going on at work? And with respect to Finn, we don't know. He thinks he might have been hit by a forklift, but nobody knows. But with respect to the claimant here, we know she was attempting to go to her office at the bottom of these steps and she fell down. That's a big difference in my mind.
I acknowledge that is a difference, but had we found her at the bottom of the steps, it would be much more similar to Finn.
It would be similar to Finn.
And the mere fact that she was in the act of descending steps, I respectfully, Your Honor, do not believe that is enough of a distinction to make this case compensable, whereas if she'd been found at the bottom of the steps, it would not be compensable.
Well, what if she fell out of her chair and hurt her head? We don't know why she fell out of her chair and hurt her head, but she fell out of her chair and hurt her head. Would that be compensable?
If there was no explanation for the occurrence of that injury, I believe that an argument could be made under the existing case law that no, that's an unexplained occurrence. It doesn't have to be an unexplained fall, just an unexplained occurrence. We don't know what happened. We don't know what caused the injury. The connection, the nexus between the injury and the threshold requirement for compensability is not established. And moving to the burden of proof question just briefly, there should not be a distinction merely because a general admission of liability was initially filed and respondents chose to advance two defenses, either the aneurysms caused it or it was unexplained, that renders this case having a different result as if the notice of contest had been initially filed, and that's going to take exception to the burden of proof issues. So thank you, Court.
Can I follow up? Sure. Just a couple questions. Good morning. If she had tripped going down the stairs and they said that she just was rushing down the stairs and tripped, would this be compensable?
If the ALJ had found that, yes, Your Honor.
Okay. What if we don't know whether she was rushing or she was clumsy or she was lightheaded because she stood up too quickly? I mean, at some point, there's going to be some unknown. Why would she do that? I mean, at some point, isn't it the fact that we know she was injured going down the steps versus we don't know why she fell? Is that not what the issue is?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. I believe going back again to the underlying factual findings of the administrative law judge, he found that it had been proven there was no explanation for the fall. He could have, if he wanted to, have accepted that she tripped, that she slipped, that she was rushed, that the books that were in her arms caused her to lose her balance and fall. But factually, the underlying court did not do that in this case. Factually, there was a determination of this fall met the unexplained criteria.
And same question I asked Mr. Neuwirth. Is that not a mixed question of fact and law? The fact is we don't know what the mechanism of falling was. That's the fact. But the law is, did it arise out of the business, meaning she was going up or down the stairs?
I see them as two distinct questions, Your Honor. I see that the factual question of what caused the fall was decided by the administrative law judge, and that was decided in an absence. We don't know.
Right.
The legal question of whether merely because she was descending the stairs, is that sufficient to satisfy the arising out of test, the decision of Finn says no, that's not enough. And that's what we're asking the court to uphold, that there has to be something more.
All right, thank you. Okay. Any other questions?
Ms. Neuwirth, we gave your opponent three minutes and 29 seconds. This is going to end up being an hour. If there's anything else you want to say, you're welcome.
May I have a moment?
Sure.
While they're talking, I'll take responsibility for causing the argument to arise out of my question.
Well, we'll blame you later.
Just very briefly, I appreciate that after conferring with Ms. Fricke, what unexplained should mean is not that we don't know the exact reason for the fall, but it's just that we don't know whether the fall occurs while a worker is doing something incidental to the job.
Well, it's easier, isn't it, if we work from the injury backwards?
It's why
I think it's easier if we work from the injury backwards. She was injured. Why? She fell downstairs. Why did she fall downstairs? We don't know. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
All right, so if we work backwards, then all we really need to know is injury took place at work. Why did the injury take place at work? Because she was going downstairs. And you think the analysis ends there, right?
One more point. Is going down the stairs incidental to her job? That's a legal question. Yes, it is. Therefore, she's covered. And then we end there.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both for your arguments and briefs. The case will be submitted on the briefs, and the court will be in recess.
Thank you.